All righty. Five, four, three, two, one.
All right.
Yeah.
And we're back.
And we're back.
We got, who do we have here? We have
Well, I'm Finn Holly, Striped Bass on Instagram.
And I'm Ben Holly, technical support.
Technical support.
And
brother.
Podcast brother.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So the first podcast, a couple technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time we
Yeah.
get it fixed.
Yeah, it was our first one, and I think it went up, it was pretty good. I mean, as far as I feel like it went over pretty well, and I think people.
Yeah, I mean it just is live, as searchable in Apple Podcasts as of
I know.
today.
Yeah, so that was really weird. I guess we can start by talking a little bit about what happened with that.
Yeah.
So when we were getting everything figured out, which is pretty difficult actually to get on all of the different social media platforms for podcasts like Spotify and Apple Podcast, which is the only two we're on right now.
Yeah.
And so what happened was it Spotify went through quick. It was like a couple of hours
Yeah, a
and it was
couple of hours
uploaded.
and it was
Yeah.
live. Yep.
And then the Apple Podcast one had to be reviewed for like 72 hours, and
And then
then
another 24 hours after that, it was
it was
searchable.
searchable. Yeah, so it
Yeah.
was really weird. So when I posted it is when it said, oh, it's live, it's good to go. And I found through the email link and I clicked on it, it looked like it was live and it wasn't.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for the whole posting
Yeah.
it and saying, oh, it's on this, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's now officially up, and I will make sure next time when we post, I will make sure that it is searchable so you guys can go right to Apple Podcasts and search up Striped Bass Hunt and see it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that covers it. Also, on the back end, we got some software figured out, some camera
Yep.
situation figured out.
Yeah,
We shouldn't run out of battery anymore.
I know.
So why don't we just hop into it?
Yeah, I guess we should.
So why don't we talk about this week? What's been
Yeah.
happening this week as far as your
Yeah. So what is the date today, actually?
The date today is the 1st of November. It was
I guess it
Halloween last
is.
night.
That's true. So it's the 1st of November, which is crazy because this is the end for me. I mean, this
But
is.
you've been saying that for a while and it
I feel
hasn't
like that.
happened.
Well, I've been saying, oh, it's the end, it's the end. And that's true. I've been saying for a while. I thought because we had those two nor'easters that blew through, and I was talking to people, and everybody was like, oh, it's pretty much over. The bass are gonna get blown out. We're not gonna catch anything. I know people get decent sized fish this time of year. It's but like where we are, we tend to lose them around the beginning of November. Maybe we'll have like a week or maybe a 2 weeks if we're lucky of bass in November. I mean, a couple of years ago, I mean, I remember fishing a blitz that was like 2 or 3 weeks into November, which
Yeah.
was crazy because
Yeah.
it was like it was very warm. I forget exactly how many years ago that was, but it was a
But
very warm fall.
so this week
Yes.
you've been fishing a bunch, and every day you go out there
Yeah.
and say, "Oh, it's gonna be the last one. Oh, it's
Yeah.
gonna be the last one." And you had some pretty good days this week.
Yeah, I mean, so it was interesting. I went out there. Well, really, this whole fall's been really interesting. It's like, I mean, I guess this is fall. It's so hard to predict fall bass. I hate the fall. I hate
Yeah.
the fall because, I mean, oh, it's great when there's 30-pound bass around because they're still predictable at that point. Like, I mean, I would get on hot bites for weeks because they're still predictable for the because of it being like, okay, the wind's blowing in this direction, the bass are going to be there.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do. Even though like you don't necessarily need the wind, it's more current based, but the wind helps is a huge factor in my opinion, and it's a big confidence booster for me. If I have the wind that I like, I think it like I feel more confident in fishing a spot. So it's been one of those things where it's been blowing the wind that I like in a couple of spots, and I go to that spot and it's blowing correctly, and I've been fishing really hard. The water's super clear,
Really?
and yeah, like you, like super. I don't even know how many feet of visibility, but like probably 20 feet of visibility, like clear. It's like
And no
crystal clear.
seaweed or anything like that?
There's a little bit of seaweed, but it's not too bad. It's been it's just, but again, because there's been giant waves, it's been not too bad. But and I haven't found any blitzing bass or anything like that. But what I did stumble upon was just a huge, huge migratory school. Laura, I was struggling all week long. I mean, I went out, I was fishing like every other day, pretty like on the tides that had been working for me, and I was just getting nothing. I was getting nothing, and it was getting increasingly more wavy. And I went out because I got some new plugs from Pumbaa Plugs, and I wanted to test out a couple things that I thought were going to be fantastic for the fall, which they were. And I got on an incredible bite with the Tinker pencil, the Tinker Pumbaa pencil, and it was a great. I mean, I probably had, I don't know, maybe a 24 bass and a couple that were 28, 30 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty good for this time of year.
Yeah.
And of course for it pretty much being over.
Yeah.
And I know there's been a lot of people that have been like doing okay at night. Like they've been getting low 30s at night,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty good still. I just tend not to fish during at night this time of year because it's not worth it to me to be out there in the pitch black catching 30 inches. But because I like to see top, like this time of year for me, it's all top water. Yeah. Like I just love seeing them hit.
Because it's water. It's just smaller bass in general. So you're just trying to, you're just trying to catch them the most fun way that you can.
Exactly. And I think that there's no better way. But I do think that this time of year, there's no point in having barbs on your hooks or anything like that. Or even, like, try to even fish single hooks if you can on your lures. Just to preserve the fish. Because there's no bass bigger than 35 inches this time of year. I mean, that's realistically the fact. So if you're fishing, especially where we are, I mean, it'll be a little bit later.
A little like for the Cape, south, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a little later. And then for New York and New Jersey, it'll be a little later. But, like, when it gets to the point where it's, like, there's nothing around bigger than, like, 35 inches, then just crush your barbs or go try to throw single hooks on. Because, like, you know, you're going to... In my opinion, I don't think it really affects the amount of fish that you lose, but it's just much better for the fish itself to be able to unhook it quick and throw it back in the water, and it's better on the fish and better on you if you get a hook in your hand.
Yeah, I mean when you and I went out there, you had me on an SP minnow. This was this week. To be fair, it was a week or two ago, but same sort of conditions.
Yeah,
but you brought me out there and you gave me barbless for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I had never used barbless. I was like, oh, I'm going to be losing fish left and right. But as long as you maintain a little bit of pressure, and it was so easy to unhook them.
Yeah.
So easy.
It just makes it worth it because, I mean, the small bass, they thrash around. And it's very easy to get a hook in your hand. And even like I'm just thinking, because I've been using a lot of barbless this season, and I was like, should I try to do a lot of barbless fishing next year? Because it's quite frankly much better on the fish. So I'm going to experiment with doing a lot more barbless fishing next season, targeting bigger bass with barbless stuff.
Yeah.
And seeing if I hopefully don't lose any more fish
than
like normal. And like for me, if the fish is like shaking the hook,
mm-hmm.
then I'll know it's like not going to work. But if I'm not losing them due to like them shaking the hooks and stuff, then I'll probably stick with barbless because I think that it's much better on the fish. And then the whole thing this week, I guess, as well, mm-hmm. Is there's been the new striped bass regulations that came out.
Really?
Which is like pretty crazy. They came out yesterday. So
when do they go into effect?
I think next season. I'm not like, this is like, I haven't done any research on this.
This is just off the cuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Cutting edge news.
Yeah,
Take with it what you will.
Yeah, exactly.
May or may not be 100% accurate.
Yeah, don't quote me on anything that I'm about to say. But I think I'm pretty sure that it's 28 to 30 inches. I know at least it is for around here in Massachusetts. It might be different for other states. Maybe. I don't know. So
but they're
like,
shifting it from 28 and above to 28 to...
I think it's a slot size between 28 and 35.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I feel about that, because I think that's like the key size breeding fish. But at the same time, I'm like no scientific
expert.
So I have no idea. I mean, I'm totally like, mm-hmm. I shouldn't even go into this because there's going to be people that are like super into this. And I don't want to like
say step on anybody's toes.
Exactly.
But I think it's important you like just to mention it and say that it's coming down the pipe and mm-hmm. maybe we do an episode specifically mm-hmm. with a call in with somebody who knows what they're talking about
exactly.
or something like that.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a good idea. And I will spend the next week reading all this stuff, all the new regulations. I think circle hooks now are also mandatory, something like that. Again,
for bait.
For bait.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into depth on this because I don't want to like make a mistake.
Yeah.
But I will definitely research that between this podcast and next podcast, and we'll have a little segment on it next podcast.
Yeah.
Going a little bit more into depth of what actually happened, and I'll try to give my two cents on what I think about it.
Yeah.
But I do think it is great that at least we're getting some regulation change.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel that really if people followed the regulations like they should be, I feel like the fishing wouldn't... I mean, I feel like 28 inches was fine. Between 28 and 35, I mean, yeah, it's going to keep the cow-sized bass, which is the like size fish that you want the genes to be in, because that's the bass that are gonna like have the babies that are gonna be able to get to that big.
Yeah. It leaves those guys out there.
Exactly. So that's good, and I think that that's a good thing. I feel like if people follow the regulations, of 28 inches would have been good. But I mean, there's just so many factors that like make it like where at least we're having a little bit, like at least a little bit has gone down. I hope that
people are just at least paying attention to striped bass conservation, period.
But
and trying
a little
to make
bit.
Some changes.
Yeah,
but,
trying with so many quotes around
I know,
that.
But still,
yeah.
It's better than there just being no action whatsoever.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. Because I think that it's good that that's a thing now that we have a little bit more, the regulations are a little bit better. And again, a little bit better in quotes, because maybe it's worse that we're taking that size bass out. Who knows, though? I mean, it will really... Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if it makes the population... I mean, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years we'll be able to tell maybe a little bit about what it's done. But, I don't think it's going to... If it does impact it either negatively or positively, I think it's going to be a pretty nominal amount. That's just my thought. Okay.
What else we got on the docket? Let's see. We've got... Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
How about a little breakdown of, you have any,
my line?
Yeah. Your line.
So here's something that I in the last podcast, I talked a lot about how I used like 50 pound braid and 65 pound like fluorocarbon leader. And people were like, well, that's heavy. And yes, it is. It is super heavy. I mean, part of the reason I use super heavy gear is, because I'm in structure that is very brutal on your gear, and you can claim all you want. You can catch a 40 pound bass on 6 pound test, which, yeah, you can probably do that. But like, it's all about like a lot of it's like where you are and what the fish does. I just think, in my opinion, the bass are, I mean, they have too much, like they have way too much in their favor as far as like a big fish is powerful. It heads for the rocks. It's not gotten that big for not probably at least getting out of a few people's hands a couple of times by either breaking their line or something like that.
It's smart. It's a wily fish.
Yeah, I guess. So that's the whole thing is like, I use big gear because I think that it makes my chances of catching a bigger fish better.
And it doesn't hurt your chances.
Yes, and I don't think it hurts your chances. And in my opinion, go as big as you can without it negatively affecting your fishing. So if I use super heavy gear, especially if I'm eeling. So I'll even go up where I'm using 65 pound or 80 pound braid and 80 pound fluorocarbon leader. And so that's like
so
that.
Big.
So yeah, that's really, really big. But the thing is, you hook a 45 pound, 50 pound bass in a boulder field, in a shallow boulder field, and you put on like 25, 30, 40 pounds of drag on the fish, and you want to be able to turn it and pull it away from the rocks. And the other thing is, I think it's healthier on the bass to fight hard.
Because you can just yank it in and it's quicker.
I mean, you're still going to get the fight. I don't care. I mean, it is, like, they fight so hard that I don't care if you have your, you know, your Daiwa dog fight or your salty, or whatever it is, the Shimano Stella, like, cranked down all the way. It's going to pull some drag on you. Like, a 40-pound bass will pull drag.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a fight out of the fish. But you also want to take it into consideration that you want to... have the fish, get in quick, unhook it. If you want to take some pictures, get it back in the water, revive it, and release it. So if you can do that, the faster you do that, in best case scenario, you pull it up, you touch it, and you unhook it instantly in the water. Best case scenario.
Yeah.
It's the best on the fish. That ensures the best survival rate of a big fish. Now, I mean, at least in my case, I try to take some pictures of the bass, and what I'll do is I'll catch the bass, I'll keep them in the water, I'll hold them up, take a picture or two, set it back in the water, and release it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I've made mistakes when handling the bass that I'm not proud of as far as putting my hand in their gills. But I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about that on Instagram that are way smarter than I am. And I always thought that if you have your hand not in the red part of the gills, but between the gill plate and their mouth, that you're not affecting it. But I've talked to people that say that there's like a protective like mucus membrane there that like keeps it from getting some sort of disease that if you hand. So there's just like, that's the thing. And like, I try to like get my fish back in the water and safely as possible. And that's just my whole thing, is if I can get the fish, pull up, take a picture, put it back in the water, revive it, release it. I mean, that's, in my opinion, as good as you can get.
Yeah.
At least I'm not taking a giant bass. You know, I'm trying to release it as best I can.
But what's your opinion on like situations? Because not every time it's a perfect lip hook or whatever, like straight in the side of the mouth or
so
whatnot.
So obviously, if you're fishing with any sort of bait, whether it be sea clam or mackerel, eel, whatever, there's gonna be that percentage of times that the bass swallows your eel and you get gut-hooked. I mean, I've seen it happen with 25-inch eels. I've seen like a 30-pound bass get gut-hooked by that. So and there's all sorts of people saying, oh, you gotta like extend your rod. If it's a big fish, it's going to eat it instantly. As soon as you feel those two taps, it's in their mouth, and you need to hook set instantly, or else you will get, and this is just my opinion and my like what I found is that you'll pretty much get gut hooked every single time. I've never had a bass timidly eat an eel. They're eating the eel.
Yeah.
That's like, and if, especially if they're big. And if you swing and you miss it, it was small.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. And yeah, I get it. If you're having a slow night and you're only getting a couple of taps and they are not very big fish, you want to try to feed them the eel. And I understand that. But I've also tried to had nights like that where it's been super slow and I'll have like one or two bass that are 15 inches and then there's a 40-pound bass. So it's like you need to kind of keep in mind when you're fishing with eels that you are fishing with eels, try to use circle hooks, even though I don't and I'm going to change that and try to use circle hooks, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to be able to catch the big fish and keep them alive. That's like my whole thing, is because I'm such like, I'm so new to the game and I want to be able to fish for these bass for the rest of my life. So I need to try to figure out the as many different ways that I can to keep the bass alive and well. And I think that through this podcast, hopefully we can talk to some people that know the science behind like the bat, like the whole, the fish itself, and what is really the best way to catch the bass with like
minimal injury,
with minimal injury to the fish.
The fish itself.
Exactly. And we'll keep in mind like, there's a lot of times where you're up high on a cliff and you hook a bass and it's really hard to grab it with a boga and end up holding it up, just not supporting the fish, the belly of the fish. I mean, there's many different scenarios where it is difficult to do that. And then the other thing is, it's like if you see someone online and they are handling a fish wrong or something like that, I mean, you don't need to like go at them, because it's just not going to do any good as far as like, I do think it's good to like educate someone. So if you're doing it in an educational way, I think that's smart. And I think it's good to educate someone that may not know exactly what they're doing. Like if they are handling a big fish and they end up putting their hands in their gills. I mean, it's like you say, but don't do it in like a negative attacking way, because it's not going to be good for anyone. And I mean, you see it on Instagram all the time, just people getting in these mad battles because
about proper ways to
handle it, or anything, like if there's a fish that's being killed. I mean, that could be a whole separate podcast on that. You know, just try to keep it the etiquette, not only on the water but off the water on Instagram. The wilds of Instagram.
Do you want to talk about just throw out, like, as we're sort of getting to the the tail end of the podcast, because we're not gonna this one's gonna be a little bit shorter than the one before. I think this one we should consider it to be like sort of a weekly update, you know?
Yeah.
Like every Friday we'll try to come up with some sort of a podcast.
Yeah. And you can tell us, I mean, if you like the longer podcasts.
Yeah, let us know.
DM me or whatever, or if you have any questions.
YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, comment on YouTube or DM me on Instagram and any questions you have regardless. And I pretty much answer everything.
Yeah.
So
I think this could be like a more of a free form, like weekly update type deal.
Yeah.
And then there'll also be other podcasts like interspersed in it that are going to be very topic specific, you know,
gear
or techniques or having a guest on about a specific topic or whatnot.
This was also a test for us as far as running the new setup
and whatnot. So this is definitely more of a free form thing.
Yes.
So how about we begin the send off with a
few comments,
just a story. How about a story of a big hit. This season.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about, I was recently talking to some people about just the craziness of this season and the striped bass and my experience recently starting to catch larger fish and then like realizing, oh my, like the experiences that I've had in a lot of these bass that I caught were not the biggest bass that I caught this season. These were just crazy events that happened leading up to it. So I have two stories that really stand out in my mind. One of them was, I was fishing, and it just got dark out and I was fishing with a darter. And
what time of year is this?
This was probably late July. Or maybe early July. It was probably early July, maybe late June. And there was seaweed. I had a strong south wind and I've been catching a lot of bass that were in the high 20s to 30 pound class fish that whole week, and I was doing very, very well. And then this day there was so much seaweed in the water, like it was every single cast I had seaweed on my board.
So frustrating.
Yeah, which is ridiculously frustrating, and you hate it more than I do. I mean, I have so much more patience than he does.
I just can't stand it. It's like not even worth it, you know?
Yeah, so I'm out there and I'm fishing and I'm probably an hour in, and I went out at dusk because I knew it was going to be seaweedy because the day before it was pretty weedy, and I wanted to fish a little topwater so I would kind of stay out of the seaweed, and I was just in the seaweed all day. I was getting nothing and nothing and nothing. I was about to call it and it was starting to get dark because it was just so bad. The seaweed was just so bad. There's just mats of it. And I move into a spot. The tide was pushing up a little bit. There's a strong current coming through some rocks that I was very, like, that was like the thing that was working all, like, I was so confident there. Like, I had, like, so much confidence that if I could drop it pretty much hitting the rocks, the bass are sitting right beside it, and it was two cranks in, and they would whack it. Every, like, that whole week, it was crazy. And this was right at the beginning of me really starting to actually catch pretty decent-sized fish. And so I cast out, and it's just gotten dark, and I can't really see much, but I can see kind of what's going on. And I'm reeling, and I felt like I had seaweed on it, so I rip it up, and I'm reeling in fast because I'm frustrated. So I'm reeling as fast as I can. And then all of a sudden, I see this 30-pound bass leap out of the water behind me, land, like, big splash, right behind my lure. Leap again, splash, right behind my lure, and I pause it, and then it just slams it on the surface. And I hoax it, and I catch, and it just runs, and I get in, it was a 33-pounder, it was so cool. Like, it was at night, and the thing was all fouled up, and I thought I had seaweed on it, and it just...
That's awesome.
It was a great catch.
That's awesome.
So that's my first story that I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah.
The next one was a little bit better of a fish. I think it was like 45 inches. I don't really know how much it weighed. It was probably high 30-pound bass. I don't think it hit 40, but it was probably a high 30-pounder. And I was eeling. I was getting a bunch of like 15, 20-pounders that night. The tide was pushing in. I was like out on an island or a bunch of boulders that was out pretty far in the water. So I was starting to move back and there's huge waves. I mean, absolutely massive waves. And I didn't think I could get out the eel to where I was getting these bass that were pretty decent. And so I set up in the spot. It's a super narrow channel between these giant boulders on either side. And I was like, there's no way there's a bass in here. But what the hell? I'm going to throw a I'm gonna throw a eel at it. And so I set up there and I cast out as hard as I can. I get the thing out just past those boulders. I take probably three cranks and there's a huge wave coming, probably the biggest one of the night. And then I just feel this bass just boom, just like hits it. And when a big fish hits, generally they'll come up to the surface and they'll thrash a bit and they'll take off for a run. And so I hook into this fish and there's the giant waves coming. The bass comes up through the top of the giant wave, leaps out of the top of the wave.
Wow.
And this is a high 30-pound bass. And it's and then the wave crashes and the bass is probably 8, maybe 10 feet in the air. And it's a high 30-pound class fish. And I'm staring at this bass just like super high up in the air. And I'm like, oh my gosh, and it just lands. I thought it could have been a bluefish. Because I was like, bass don't jump like this.
Yeah.
And it like it just didn't really compute that the wave crashed and it was coming up through the top of the wave. But it leapt out of the water so high, fully out of the water. And like, but it was so high. It was ridiculous. And then it lands, it runs in between these boulders, and I'm trying to pull it, and I'm fighting it in between both sides, and I finally get it through this little narrow gap, and it's a nice 30-pound class bass.
Wow.
And that was just so, so epic. I mean, that was my favorite, probably one of my favorite ones of the season.
That's awesome.
I mean, that was one of my favorite hits of the season.
Yeah. So, how about we, do you have any questions?
Yeah, so I'll answer a couple questions on Instagram. Let's just see.
Before we wrap it up.
Yeah. I'll just ask you a question while looking, so we're not just standing here.
Fair enough.
I think that, did we tell the story about your fish? The first big one?
Yeah, I think we did last time.
Okay. Then we should tell how lucky, so he has a horseshoe. He has a horseshoe.
He allegedly, he keeps telling me that I have some horseshoe that I carry around with me because every time I'll go out a couple times, Finn will have been working it every single night. I'll go out like maybe a handful of times over the, like for serious sessions. I mean, like I'll come out like a bunch over the course of the summer, but a couple times for serious sessions. And it's almost every time that I'm out there, regardless of the condition, whether it's middle of the day, really bad conditions for fishing, really great conditions for fishing. And we always catch big fish when I'm out there. It's just weird.
So stupid.
It always happens. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Better to be lucky than smart.
Yeah, I guess. I'm still trying to figure out I a couple of questions that might be good. Yeah. Next time I do this, I will put up a thing on my story asking
for questions for the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to do it.
All right.
So,
well, why don't we wrap up the weekly update?
Yeah.
First one. Anything else? Else you want to say?
Well, I mean, what do we have for time as far as that? Do we need to end it now?
I mean, I think we should end it now, and then we can pick it up later with a more specific topic if we need to. But I think that's probably good for just a weekly update.
Okay. So the most important question, I guess, of this one is, do you like shorter podcasts or do you want longer podcasts? Like, do you want ones that are like an hour and a half, or do you want ones that are like less than or more? I mean, whatever it says. I wouldn't do it. I mean, whatever. I mean, we won't do stuff more than...
More than two hours. Yeah. 2 hours is about the max,
yeah,
I think.
But as far as like... podcast under, we'll do like an hour podcast or
I think the weekly podcast. Updates around 30 minutes is probably fine. And then for more specific topics, it's just as long as it takes, I guess, you know.
That seems good.
All right, well, wrap it up.
Thanks for listening and tuning in, and
hopefully we'll be able to get some of this more streamlined and just keep cranking the episodes out.
Yeah,
so thanks for listening.
Yep.